This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. The three-pack is back. The three-pack is a great value, and the top three uses for the air purifier are to eliminate odors, allergens, and air pollutants. Get the three-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word Howie3.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
With respect to energy, the administration has done everything that they can to bring down energy costs.
Name one thing. Just one thing.
He's done a couple of things, like make sure that the historical release, a million barrels a month for 6 months. That is a big, big deal.
Once a month? That's crazy.
Please, sir. I want some more.
What? More?
We're gonna go. We're gonna get going, guys. It's time.
Exit stage right.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
After waiting for a long time to have enough chips in this country to finally get my electric vehicle, I got it and drove it from Michigan to here and went by every single gas station. It didn't matter how high it was.
Well, Lordy frickin' God!
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. Of course, the Democrats with their January 6th, it's kind of, think of it as a pilot for a new show. You know, they used to do the pilots and that run these shows in the summer. And if they got a good reaction, they'd put them in starting in January to fill in for a show that had really flopped. I have a feeling this is going to be one of those one and done type things in prime time anyway. They're going to have January 6th committee hearing is going to be on at 8 o'clock Eastern time on Thursday night. And then the next one is going to be in 10 o'clock on Monday morning. So that's more the traditional time for a hearing start, but they're going to talk about how terribly concerned they are about terrorism. And police officers were in danger. Joe Biden says five cops were killed that day. He said that. He's also said two were killed. Actually, zero cops were killed that day. A Trump supporter was killed. Four Trump supporters died in all. It was drug overdose, heart attack, strokes, etc. And then one was shot to death by a Capitol cop who was then exonerated. But, you know, when they had a chance to put away a couple of terrorists just recently, these two lawyers in New York, Colin Ford Mattis and Urooj Rahman, they were arrested in the mostly peaceful riots following George Floyd's murder. The two lawyers, and they both Ivy League types, handed out Molotov cocktails to the crowd, and Rahman tossed one into a police car before fleeing the scene in Mattis's van. They originally had seven felony charges against them, but even when Trump was president, they got rid of six of those. They were going to plead guilty to get a 10-year sentence. But the feds wanted to claim that it needed the offense was so egregious that there should be a terrorism enhancement, they call it. And the probation office agreed, and they were going to get basically 10 years. But guess what? Now they have tossed that. Now the Biden Justice Department, which is so terribly concerned about insurrections and terrorisms, has tossed out the terrorism enhancement totally. And they've asked for the 10-year sentence to be reduced to 18 to 24 months because they're left-wingers. Because they're left-wingers who went to the Ivy League. And people are writing about this on online who are federal prosecutors or former federal prosecutors. They've offered them a new deal after they've already pleaded guilty, which is almost never done. Swapping in a softer plea agreement after having gone through a plea hearing is an exceedingly rare event in federal court. However, you don't often get two lawyers, both of whom are members of extremely protected classes, and who are also far leftists. And the woman, Urooj Rahman, she was bailed out when she was arrested after trying to kill the cops by throwing a Molotov cocktail into a police car. Uh, she, She was bailed out by someone who worked in the guy named Salma Rizvi. He guaranteed the $250,000 bail to get her out. So that's how much they really care about terrorism. But it's really interesting. I'm going to be very pleased if this guy Chesa Boudin gets ousted as a district attorney of San Francisco, and they all the polls say it's going to happen. This guy is a radical. Again, his parents were two cop killers, took part in a Brinks robbery in New York State in 1981. Two cops and a security guard were gunned down. And they were doing 75 years, and basically Cuomo cut him loose before Cuomo was cut loose. So so I'll just read you a little bit of this from Free Beacon about the last rally for Chesa Boudin. He's trying to avoid a recall. They're going to throw him out of office, basically, today. That's all the polls indicate. The people of San Francisco want him gone. San Francisco. A drag queen, a communist, and a domestic terrorist walk into a bar. They're joined by several dozen supporters of Chesa Boudin, the radical district attorney who faces a recall election today. Juanita Moore, that's her name, capital, all capital, Moore, exclamation point. The drag queen activist and denizen of the limelight is first to arrive at Zeitgeist, the unapologetically punk dive and beer garden in the city's Mission District. Angela Davis, the former FBI most wanted fugitive and Communist Party vice presidential candidate, whose other accolades include the Soviet Union's Lenin Peace Prize, takes a seat in back with her assistant. She made a speech for the guy. Boudin arrives moments later with his father, domestic terrorist David Gilbert. Gilbert was paroled last year after disgraced former Democrat Governor Andrew Cuomo commuted his 75 years to life sentence for felony murder. Boudin's father and mother, Kathy Boudin, were convicted for their roles in the 1981 armored car robbery that left two police officers and a Brinks guard dead. The demographics of the crowd are about what you would expect. Boomer hippies, dirtbag leftists, trust fund kids, weirdos. Like most San Francisco residents, they're wearing face masks outside. So everybody wants this guy gone. As the writer at Free Republic at the Free Beacon says, San Francisco doesn't feel very safe. Walking south from Tenderloin to City Hall in broad daylight, you will encounter an array of drug dealers and eventually lose count of all the people openly lighting up or tying off or passed out in the middle of the sidewalk. You'll see tent encampments in practically every side street and alley, garbage and filth everywhere. Maybe that's why everyone wears a mask outside. You'll try to convince yourself that San Franciscans are just unusually negligent about picking up after their large dogs. And of course, this guy is supported by George Soros. That's how he got elected. Soros has worked to get all of these district attorneys elected. Now it turns out he's been giving a lot of money to the candidate who's running against the incumbent in Cumberland County, which is Portland, Maine. And I guess I read a story in one of the Portland papers, or one of the Maine papers, that the incumbent DA used to be a Republican, now he's a Democrat. He's raised $4,000, and Soros's PACs have poured $172,000 into this the Challengers campaign. She's a public defender. I mean, I would think the incumbent from Portland would defeat a public defender challenger from Brunswick. But, you know, you never know. That's a lot of money. 844-500-4242. Other people he's backed are Larry Krasner, the guy in Philadelphia that doesn't like to give out the names of the people who he was keeping those names tight under his belt, the people who the two shooters who shot up South Street in Philadelphia on Saturday night. He supported Kim Fox in Chicago. She's the one who broomed the case, basically, on Jussie Smollett, or tried to broom it until there was too much of an outcry. But anyway, the thing that's really crushing Boudin, or what got really people excited, on New Year's Eve 2020, a man driving a stolen car hit and killed two women in downtown San Francisco. The alleged driver has pleaded not guilty to vehicular homicide, another felony charge. It's been like a year and a half, and he still hasn't been charged. Justice delayed is justice denied. I thought that's what they always said. Mr. McAllister, this is the Wall Street Journal, was a parolee with a long rap sheet who'd been arrested five times in the previous 6 months for various crimes, including burglary. In each case, Mr. Boudin's office had declined to file charges that could have sent him back to prison because, prosecutors said, evidence in the five arrests was weak. So he was out on the street, drunk, with a gun, drugs, and he runs over these two women and kills them. And that was like the last straw for a lot of them, even liberals. But there's other things, too. There's a woman named Brooke Jenkins. She's a homicide prosecutor. She'd been handling the trial of a 29-year-old man accused of murdering his mother before setting her corpse on fire. Ms. Jenkins won a conviction, but the jury couldn't decide whether the man was legally insane. The district attorney, Boudin, whose parents are cop killers, intervened, accepting an insanity plea proposed by the man's public defender. Ms. Jenkins objected and quit. Soros, billionaire Soros, and groups he funded have spent more than $40 million in campaign contributions in prosecutors' races. And they've discovered, I mean, it's a very cheap way to destroy the quality of life in large areas. And not just in major cities, in suburban areas. They've beaten them back in a couple of places, though. In Little Rock, Arkansas, a woman named Walton, I don't think she's related to Walmart, but she received a $321,000 contribution from George Soros, but she lost to the career prosecutor in the case. So people are starting to wake up to what George Soros has been up to. 844-500-4242. I'm already dreaming of how well I'm going to sleep tonight. I'm sure it's happened to you. You stare at your alarm clock all night long. You finally fall asleep at dawn and bam, your alarm clock goes off for the day. You ask yourself, why couldn't I sleep last night? But if you want to guarantee you'll get the best sleep possible the way I do, there's one solution. MyPillow, it's the best solution. MyPillow doesn't just have the most comfortable Giza Elegance pillows. There's the MyPillow bed sheets, the six-piece towel sets, the roll-and-go-anywhere MyPillows. So many products that combine the quality and comfort you only get with MyPillow. And here's the best thing. Right now, it's the MyPillow BOGO Extravaganza. That means buy one, get one free on all those products I just mentioned. Call 800-658-4965 or go to the Radio Listener Specials page at MyPillow.com and use the code Howie. Plus, you will also get Mike Lindell's book absolutely free with any purchase. Call 800-658-4965 or go to MyPillow.com and don't forget the code word Howie. I'm Howie Carr.
Got hate mail?
You got anything on your chest besides your chin, you better get it off.
Send it off to Grace at HowieCarshow.com.
You just shot an unarmed man.
Well, he should have armed himself.
The Howie Carr Show.
844-500-4242. 844-500-4242. It's a real pleasure. I got a visit here from an old friend of mine in the studio. We're gonna have Bill O'Reilly on a little bit later. Another old friend of mine. This is an even older friend of mine, Frank Bellotti, Francis X. Bellotti. He used to be the lieutenant governor of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Then he became the attorney general of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, and he is just recently celebrating his 99th birthday. And Frank Bellotti, it's a pleasure to have you with us.
It's a pleasure to be here, Howie.
And, you know, the old
99 doesn't count. It doesn't count until 100.
Well, I hope you'll be back on your 100th birthday in the studio, and we'll have a cake. You know, 99 is just another birthday, I guess. But yeah. It's, you know, they're not too – I always love having World War II guys on here because you are the greatest generation. And, you know, I mean, I don't want to depress you, but there's not many of you left.
I think they're losing the World War II guys at the rate of about 2,200 a day. There aren't many left. I don't know that many, you know.
Right. I remember a couple of years ago, someone told me from Quincy. They said there were only three guys left. Your hometown of Quincy, Massachusetts. There were only three guys left from World War II.
Yeah, and one of them's gone.
One of them's gone, so there are two left now,
John
and you've
Gillis, yeah.
And you've kind of moved out anyway. So I guess there's one guy left in
the
city. You know,
I had 54 guys in my unit, and they were all like super athletes.
Yeah, you were Navy.
Navy, but they couldn't figure Navy guys as a guerrilla unit, so they brought us to Washington, and they psychoanalyzed us. And that's an interesting adventure. And that, now there is, I'm the only one left in that unit.
Of the 54 of them, you're the last one left.
Last one left. The last guy before that I used to talk to all the time was Richard Lyon. He was the mayor of Oceanside, California. And he was the first SEALs admiral.
Really?
And we used to call around and see who was left from our unit. We were the only two left, and then he died 2 years ago.
You're also the last guy left from all those statehouse guys that I came up with, you know?
Yeah, there aren't many left, are there?
No, I mean, Crane's gone, you know, McGee's gone.
Kevin White's gone.
Yeah, Kevin White, Harry. It's just great. 508 says, tell Frank he looks great, because you're on TV. You know, we're on Rumble and Facebook.
Yeah, who said
and,
that?
A guy texted in 508.
Yeah.
And someone else says, no way. That's awesome. You meaning you're 99 years old. You look really good though, Frank. I got to tell you, Frank, you know, you're a fellow Democrat to Joe Biden, but you got a lot more on the ball than the president of the United States. And you know what? You're old enough to be his father.
I had 12 kids. That's enough.
You used to know Biden back in the day, right?
I knew Biden years ago. I haven't seen him, you know, very much. But
what happened to him, Frank?
I think he got old. I don't know. I'm disappointed in him.
But you didn't. I mean, you didn't think he'd be great. I mean, he was never the brightest bulb on the Christmas tree.
No, he was never great, but at least he was normal. I think he's a captive of the progressives.
Yeah. What do you think is going to happen in this election in Massachusetts? You think it's going to be a change election like 1990 when you had some problems, being the establishment Democrat candidate and, the Republicans
I'm not sure there is a Democratic Party anymore.
How do you mean?
Well, in the old days, whether you liked it, you had a set of philosophies and beliefs. Now, I don't think there's any cohesive philosophy anymore.
They just like to attack, it seems like.
Huh?
They like to attack Democrats. They just like to blame. They point the finger. They point the finger at Trump. They point the finger at Putin. They point the finger at COVID. They're always blaming somebody.
Well, I don't even think there's a cohesive pointing anymore. I think it's all over the place. And the progressives, I think they have Biden as a...
front man.
As a front man, yeah. And I'm disappointed. Because I liked them in the old days.
I get the feeling, Frank, that you kind of like Donald Trump.
Like what?
You kind of like Donald Trump.
Well, I like a lot of the things that he did. You know, and he... I'm not sure I agree with a lot of the things that he did, but he... Jesus, look at this inflation. The first thing Biden did when he came in is cut out the
pipeline.
The pipeline. How can you do that?
I don't know. I don't know. It's just it's amazing what a disaster whole thing has become. Gas $5 a gallon today.
Philosophically, I suppose I'm different than Trump, but Trump did what he thought was right, whether you liked it or not. And I'm not sure. I think Biden's trying to keep all the progressives happy because he made that promise during the campaign.
Frank Bellotti, stick around. We're going to have Bill O'Reilly when we come back, but I appreciate you. And we're going to have you back on your 100th birthday.
I hope I'm here.
I think you will be. I think you will be. I'm Howie Carr.
live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242, 844-500-4242. It's like old home week around here today. We have with us Frank Bellotti, the former Attorney General, 99 years old, and he's going to stick around while I talk to another guy I've known for a very long time, and that's Bill O'Reilly, the best-selling author and talk show network host. Bill O'Reilly, thanks for being with us.
Howie, how you been?
Good. And say hello to Frank Bellotti. You remember Frank Bellotti, the former Attorney General of the Commonwealth. He's just turned 99 years old, Bill.
So he's 3 years older than you. And
I didn't come here to be made sport of.
Yeah, Bill, I have to get this in. You were my wife's idol. She had on, I had you on, I think, more than anybody else.
Well, don't put him in the past tense, Frank. He's still out there.
No, but I have to.
Well, that's very nice of you to say. And, you know, look, we are a concern in Boston that even in the younger days when Carr and I were terrorizing the city as reporters on television for Channel 7, we had something in common, Frank, and you admire this. I know we wanted to tell the truth to the people. That's what it was all about. It's always been all about that.
Yeah, that's not very popular these days.
Not at all. Well, Bill, everybody's woke.
I want to mention your book, "Killing the Killers: The Secret War Against Terrorists." It's a it's another big mega bestseller, and Father's Day is coming up, and I know you want to promote it. Just give us a little bit about it, and then we go. Then I want to talk to you about your most recent column about the decline of network news, because it's a pretty interesting column.
Okay.
Tell us about the book, though, first.
Carr's children called me and said, should we give our father Killing the Killers? I said, I already sent it to him free.
I got it,
but
yes.
But for those of you who don't have it, it is a book about the top secret, still classified war that the United States is effectively waging, keyword effectively, against ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Boko Haram. And on every page, there's stuff you don't know, because the national security advisors talked to us, all of them, starting with David Petraeus and the Bush administration, all the way up to the end of the Trump administration. We opened with the takedown of bin Laden, what really happened. We closed with the unbelievable debacle of the Biden administration in Afghanistan that led to the deaths of 13 service people at Kabul Airport. So this is a book, and if you don't like your father very much, it'll keep him quiet for 3 days when he reads it.
How many people do you think?
Win-win across the board, Killing the Killers for Father's Day, the best-selling book in the United States right now.
Well, let me ask you something, Bill. What about this guy in, I think, Columbus, Ohio, the guy that came in from Iraq seeking asylum, like the Sarnieff brothers? And then once he gets into the country, I guess he's probably on welfare, because you get welfare if you come in on asylum for 5 years. And then he starts setting up, he basically says, I'll work for any terrorist organization to bring people across the southern border because it's wide open. How many people do you think are doing that now with the border as wide open as it is? It's not just COVID coming across and MS-13 gangbangers, is it?
You'll never find out.
I can tell you with certainty the Homeland Security operation doesn't know, because there are so many unattended migrants coming across that open border, they can't possibly keep track of them. And the jihadists overseas know that. So once it shifts to the United States, it's Homeland Security and the FBI that are responsible for our security. Overseas, it's the CIA and the NSA. And those agencies are on it. But once it gets into the USA, I can't vouch for that, and neither can any of the national security people. We just don't know how effective they are in surveilling people who come over with ties to the jihad, because these are very furtive people. They get in the country and don't really know what they're doing. The good news is, if they call overseas, Howie,
make
a phone call, that's likely to be tracked by U.S. intel. So if after you finish talking to Frank and me, if you call Abbottabad, Pakistan, our surveillance is going to pick that call up.
I thought they were too busy surveilling Peter Navarro or or some people going to a school committee meeting that wanted to say something negative about CRT. Aren't they more interested in that than terrorists?
No, they look. All this is political. You know, you put Navarro in handcuffs and foot restraints, but you allow Eric Holder not to have anything at all. Both are charged with the same offense. All right, defying Congress, defying subpoenas. So Eric Holder, what's that story? I mean, that was the Fast and Furious gun scandal. They wanted him to testify. He wouldn't. Nothing at all happens to him.
Frank.
So is this equal justice under the law?
I got to ask Frank Bellotti about this, since he used to be the Attorney General of the Commonwealth. So Eric Holder, you remember him under Obama. He gets cited for contempt of Congress on a bipartisan vote in the House. Bipartisan. And they refer it to the Justice Department, of which he is the head of the Justice Department. What the hell? I mean, what was it? It was always a fraud, wasn't it?
Well,
at least for the last 20 years or so.
Yeah, you look for reality. You're not going to find it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the reality was the fix was in.
I'm looking for justice. And, you know, the Justice Department is not aptly named any longer. It should be the Political Justice Department, because that's what it's all about.
Right. Exactly. Listen, go ahead, Frank.
If you're talking about the Justice Department, when I was AG and I ran afoul of them, for about 2 years, everybody they arrested, they said, "Did you give money to Bellotti?" That went on for 2 years.
So, in other words, nothing's really changed.
Nothing's changed.
It's gotten worse, I think, but it's the same M.O., right?
Well, yeah, it's the same M.O.,
settling scores.
But it's who moves it.
Right.
May change.
Yeah. Someone said, by the way, Bruce from the Mets says, "What's that ring?" He says it looks. Bruce from the Mets has got the texter. He's got a ring. Let's see. What is it?
It's one of the rings when Kyle
Yastrzemski. Oh, it's a Yaz ring. It is. Bruce from the Mets was right. It's a Carl Yastrzemski ring. Is that a World Series ring?
When Carl retired, he had 19 of these made, and he gave me one of them.
Oh, that's really cool.
It's got his name and batting record on one side and my name on the other side.
O'Reilly and I used to work with one of Yaz's kids, right? Right, Bill?
Yeah, the daughter, and she was a very nice woman.
Yeah, Mary Ann.
Yaz was a nice guy. I used to take him and Rico Petrocelli to dinner at the, what the hell was it?
Anthony's?
No.
Jimmy's?
No. At the...
we'll think of it. Hey, Bill, I got to ask you. That was an interesting column you wrote about how the fact that when Walter Cronkite retired, they had 28 million people listening, watching that show every night, and now there's an extra 100 million plus Americans, and they're down to 5 million people. It's pretty. You know what surprises me though? I'm surprised there's still even 5 million people watching it.
Those are people who are shut-ins and they can't get out of the house. they don't have a lot of options. They're just kind of there, and it's on CBS, so they stay. Look, I work for ABC, and CBS, as you know, is a network correspondent. When I was there, it was very vibrant, particularly at ABC under Jennings. And now it's politically correct, and all they want to do is make money. And you can't even name them. If you go out on Commonwealth Avenue and stop people and go, "Who anchors the ABC Evening News?" You think anybody's going to know?
Well, they might know because it might be. I wouldn't know because it's a guy from Boston, or he used to work in Boston, David Muir. But you're right.
They'll say Tom Ellis. Tom Ellis. They're not going to know Muir. You try it. You go out. They're not going to know him.
I'm just saying a few people
and everything, but they're just not going to know him because it's boring.
Well, listen, let me ask you something. Since you worked at ABC, I'd forgotten about that. Did you know this guy Goldston, who's producing the extravaganza?
Wasn't there then?
Yeah,
he wasn't there then. I was under the Cap Cities Jennings and it was a whole different thing. Rune Arledge was the guy. I worked for Arledge. And when Golson came in, I mean, I didn't know him, but now he's now directing this January 6th Dog and Pony on Thursday night. So what is he doing? I mean, are you a far-left guy, Mr. Golston? I mean, what is this all about?
They couldn't find an American to do this job? I mean, it's another guy they brought in from the British Isles. It's like, what is this, National Public Radio? They have to always bring in people with English accents to run these things?
They're very impressed by that, Carr. They don't like guys like you and me from the hood. They don't like that. They want guys from Cambridge, not Cambridge, Mass. Cambridge in England. But look, we all know that television news doesn't tell us anything anymore. It's all about propaganda, seeking an audience to make money. And that's a shame because that, you know, now people are going to the internet and the internet is unsupervised.
Why are they
say whatever you want there? There's no editor.
Why? Let me ask you this, Bill. Why are they so angry that Fox News won't run this thing? I mean, it seems like they would be happy that Fox News wasn't running it. If it's going to be such a blockbuster event, they can have all the ratings to themselves.
That's an excellent question, Carr. That is an excellent question. Why do they give a deuce?
Right.
Why do they care? Fox doesn't
well,
want to run
I
it.
I think there's an obvious good answer to that.
What is it?
Well, that's a conservative group, and they're progressives.
Right, but why do they care about Fox? If they hate Fox so much, why do they want to be on it?
Well, because they want a piece of it.
Six networks are going to run it. Six networks are going to run it, so Fox basically says, look, we'll get all the people who are not going to watch it. And they will. So they'll win the night.
I know, it's called counter-programming. Right? It's like a TV 101.
Yeah, and then Fox Business will run it. So, but the key question is, why do they care? They're going to be able to hammer Trump on six networks, which is what it's all about.
Right.
Trying to eliminate him from running again. That's what this whole January 6th committee is. I'm going to watch the first 5 minutes. If I don't get something new, a fact-based thing, then I'm going to turn on Dancing with the Stars or a rerun or whatever.
Well,
I'm not going to sit there
look
for
at
2 hours
CNN.
Of propaganda.
Yeah, CNN is now telling. Did you see this, Bill? We got to run here in a second, but that they're telling people they're going to have to go straight down the middle, and this means you, Jim Acosta. This means you, Brian Stelter. I say they're going to play ball because where else are they going to go?
They have nowhere else to go, and all I want them to do is by killing the killers and give it to their dads. That's all I want.
All right, Bill O'Reilly, say goodbye to Frank, and we'll be in touch with you. Say goodbye to you. Want to say goodbye to Bill O'Reilly, Frank?
Goodbye,
yes,
Bill.
Frank,
I'm waiting to see you again.
Your service. I appreciate your service very much. And you are, and always have been, an honest guy.
You're invited to the 100th birthday party. Okay, great. Thanks for being with us,
I'll
Bill O'Reilly.
There.
And the title of his book is Killing the Killers, and you can get it at fine bookstores everywhere. So it's a bestseller. We often hear lately that real estate can literally sell itself right now. This thought has been very true for many properties in this frenzied economy. However, as inflation skyrockets and interest rates rise, the demand for properties may quickly lessen. Before that happens, what can you do as a property owner to make sure that you maintain strong competition and interest for your real estate? You can have an auction. For over 45 years and in every type of economy, J.J. Manning consistently creates a competitive environment, strong bidding, no contingencies, and cash buyers who aren't waiting for lower interest rates. Auctions don't mean distress. Auctions mean competition. J.J. Manning auctioneers can show you what strong marketing and a competitive forum will do for your real estate. To learn more on how to get your residential, commercial, or land property sold quickly, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or visit jjmanning.com. With over 16,000 sales and satisfied clients, you can be the next one. Rising inflation and interest rates are coming. Don't wait. Call Charlie today at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com and get your property sold. I'm Howie Carr.
When Howie's on, every radio is a magic radio. If you're looking for a woke male role model, well, you've got the wrong guy.
You can act like a man! What's the matter with you?
The Howie Carr Show is back.
Our federal debt has now reached over $30 trillion. Learn how you can protect your life savings with physical gold and silver. Visit goldco.com/Howie Carr to receive your Biden inflation report. They helped me, and now they can help you too. That's goldco.com/Howie Carr. So we got a poll question here, Frank. You can answer this too. Taylor, what's the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Who's the worst president in American history? James Buchanan, Jimmy Carter, Barack Obama, or Joe Biden?
Who are you voting for, Joe? Frank? I'm voting for Joe.
No, Carter.
Carter's worse than Biden?
I think so.
Really?
Carter's polling at 1%. James Buchanan is beating him at 2%. Barack Obama at 14%, and Joe Biden at 83%.
You know, it took Carter 4 years to get us into this mess. Joe's only had 18 months, and look where we are.
Carter had a meanness that Biden doesn't have.
You don't think so? Don't you think he's getting kind of nasty, screaming and yelling and whispering at people?
Yeah, I think he's useless, but I don't think he's mean.
All right, you got a lot of I'm going to just read you some texts and you can comment on them. 857, tell Frank I have Arbella Insurance and his son babysat me for 20 months in Dedham. Here's another one, 857. Frank is a wonderful man. He took care of my friend Norman in the North End that was having trouble getting a wheelchair. That's from Bob in the North End.
Yeah, that's the guy that called me from the jail. He was doing time for manslaughter.
Yeah.
And I kept a relation with him over the years.
Someone else says, how can you not love a guy whose middle name starts with an X? There used to be a lot of people named Francis X, this and that. There aren't any more, though, are there?
Not many.
My uncle was a good friend of Victor Bellotti, who owned the Oldsmobile dealership in Somerville. Any relation?
He had one L.
One L, okay. Yep, okay. 508, I'm 65, and I can remember Frank's lawn signs when I was a little kid. He's probably in the same boat as me. He probably remembers when you were running for AG. All right, 844. Kathy says, he's amazing, Howie. Wow, 99. God bless him. 508, tell Frank he looks great. So you're doing pretty well here, Frank.
Yeah, I haven't had a bad one there. I'm waiting.
No, I'd let you know if there was a bad one.
I'm used to it.
Yeah, so you're heading over to the sheriff's time tonight, right? The sheriff of Middlesex County.
Yep. He's a great guy.
Yeah, Katusian. Right. And so you get around. I guess you had a birthday party in Quincy we heard about. Weld was there?
Everybody was there. Weld was there. We had three speakers, Tommy Finneran, Ronnie Mariano.
The current speaker, yeah. And Finneran, the ex-speaker.
Yeah.
And who was the third? You?
No, not me. Who is it?
I heard Billy Bulger was there.
Billy Bulger sat with me.
Yeah.
The whole time. And everybody says,
how's he doing? How's Billy Bulger doing?
I think he's doing great. I don't see anything wrong with
him. He's a spring chicken. He's only 88.
I told him he's a kid. Those guys don't count as old at all. You got to at least hit 90.
I'll remember that. I'll tell O'Reilly that, too. He and I got a while to go then if we got to go get to 90 before we're really aging out that much.
You're only a kid.
You're telling me? I just got to tell everybody here in the office. They think I'm older than dirt. Frank Bellotti, thanks for being with us. We appreciate it. Good to see you. See you on your 100th. I'm Howie Carr.